Hello from Berlin, Germany, and assalamu alaikum. It is good to see all of you. It's starting to rain on me, but what I have to tell you and what I want to show you is so important. I have to be at a speaking engagement in an hour here in Berlin. I'm walking in the rain in the camera, but I have to show you this. And I could not come to Berlin without showing you what I'm about to show you, without telling you the story that I'm about to tell you. It's surprisingly bittersweet in so many ways. I'm walking down an alleyway in a beautiful, almost stereotypically German neighborhood. Let me show it to you. I'm walking down here and I'm walking to a home of a man who is a hero to me, a giant. If I had to name five people that have shaped my entire life, if I had to name just five, if I had to name just three, this man would still be on the list. There are very few people that have impacted me more than the man whose story I'm about to tell you. And I would be denying myself. Yes, I'm a Muslim. I was on the floor of the Hagia Sophia Mosque in Istanbul, and I said, I relate to this place, because the Hagia Sophia Mosque once was a place for pagans, then it became a home to Christians, and then it became a home for Muslims. I once was a non-believer. Then I became a Christian for 25 years. I was a pastor. I went to seminary. And now I'm a Muslim. But you would not know me the way you know me. You would not respect me the way you may respect me if not for this man. I'm standing under a tree for a moment to beat the rain, but I'm going to have to walk in the rain, and there might even be rain on my lens here in a moment, but I would rather be soaking wet and tell you this story than miss this moment. I don't know if I'll ever be back here, inshallah. I have no idea. I'm not even gonna get to go inside of the place. I tried so hard to get inside and I can't even go inside, but I have to show it to you. I'm walking now down a street that was once marched down by Nazis. This very street that I'm walking on right now, the SS, the Nazi military, came down these roadways right here to arrest my hero, to arrest a man that became a martyr, to arrest a man that gave his life for what he believed in. I'm walking down this street now, and it is profound to know that in this very place, Nazi soldiers walked where I'm walking, marched where I'm walking, to go to this home, this beautiful German home in a beautiful neighborhood in Berlin, right here. This, sisters and brothers, was the final home of a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Please let me tell you his story. I can't believe I'm here, because for so many years he seemed unreachable to me. When I was first a student at Morehouse College, this was in 1997 when I first heard this man's name. When I first got to Morehouse College and learned a name that was so strange to my tongue, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I learned that he was a hero to Dr. Martin Luther King, who is the giant of our campus at Morehouse. He was a graduate of Morehouse College. That he was a hero to many in the civil rights movement. And that Dietrich Bonhoeffer, whose bedroom was right up here, that this man was known As a friend of African Americans in the United States, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, sisters and brothers, so much of who I am is modeled after Malcolm X, is modeled after Dr. King, and is modeled after Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Many times when I was a Christian and thought about leaving the faith, it was his book on Christian discipleship, but even more than that, it was his example as a Christian that caused me to say, okay, this is a life that I can still consider living, because I looked around and I would read the Gospels, but then look at Christians and not see the parallels, but I would be reminded of the life that this man led. When he was just a teenage boy, very much like me, I became a preacher, a Christian preacher. When I was a teenage boy, just 16 and 17 years old, I started preaching. And so did he. And his brothers who were lawyers, he had a brother who actually died in World War I. His brothers thought like, okay, we have a brother who is a genius and he wants to be a theologian and a preacher, like what? His brothers were frustrated with him. And they were like, Dietrich, come on, you could do anything. Why would you want to do something lowly, like be a preacher? You could do so much more. And he felt it in his heart. He knew that there was something for him. And he went to school to learn to be a preacher, to be a pastor, to be a theologian. He was a brilliant man, a genius, a giant intellectually. And he had a skill that I have tried to develop and have myself. To me, the true sign of intelligence is, can you make complicated ideas simple? So anybody who watches this video, I'm about to teach you about a German theologian named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but I want it to be approachable. If a middle school student watches this, if my mother watches this, if your mother watches this, I want you to learn something. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer had that skill of making complicated ideas simple. He went to school and got his undergraduate degree, eventually got his doctorate, became a professor. And in 1930, moved to the United States. Let me tell you where this man who grew up right here in Berlin, Germany, this man, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, moved to Harlem, New York. What? And he went to Union Theological Seminary. And my wife could tell you, when I was 20 and 21 years old, I took our family. At that time, it was me, my wife, and our little baby. I took us in the dead of winter to Union Theological Seminary, right outside of Harlem in New York, because he used to be there. I just wanted to be where Dietrich Bonhoeffer used to be, and let me tell you why. This man who moved to New York, he was actually so irritated with theology students and other people at the seminary, but let me tell you who he loved. He went to a church that I've preached at, Abyssinian Baptist Church. It's the most historic church in Harlem, maybe the most historic church in New York, one of the most important black churches in all the United States. I've preached there. Dietrich Bonhoeffer went there and he said, this is redeeming me being away from Germany. This is redeeming my time here. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, immediately, God knit his heart to black folk in Harlem. He heard Adam Clayton Powell Sr., who was the father of Adam Clayton Powell Jr., who became one of the first black congressmen from New York and from Harlem. He heard them preach. And he became, in 1930, not in the 60s, this is when Dietrich Bonhoeffer moved to Harlem, Dr. King was 1 year old. This was before the civil rights movement. This man grew a heart for civil rights and human rights for black people when he moved to Harlem, went to church in Harlem. And when he moved back here just 2 years later, guess who was rising up to power? You know, it's Hitler. This man moved back home to Germany, and he's starting to see the ascendancy, the rise of one of the single worst human beings to ever walk this earth, who ordered soldiers here on this street to come and arrest Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich, in 1933, did a radio show where he begins telling people, speaking out against Nazism, speaking out against Adolf Hitler. And they literally cut off his radio show like midstream. This is in 1933. This is before the Holocaust. And what many of us fail to remember is the Holocaust was not a 2 year or 3 year thing. The persecution of Jews in Germany, in right here in Berlin, started 10 years earlier. And this man, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, spoke out against it. And let me tell you, because I only have a few minutes, let me tell you what he did. He began organizing people behind the scenes to figure out, how can we stop the Nazis? How can we stop these evil people? How can we prevent them from doing what they're doing? 1934, 35, 36, 37, he becomes a thorn in the side of Nazis. This man's not a Jew. He's not Jewish. But he knew what he was witnessing was wrong. Many of you are not Muslims, but you care deeply about Palestinians. That was me just months ago. You know what's happening in Gaza is an abomination. It's an abomination before Allah. It is a sin. It is a crime. The International Court of Justice has said it's a crime. This man saw the rise of Nazism and the persecution of Jews. He was not a Jew, but he knew it was wrong. And let me tell you, in the few minutes that I have left, while living in this home, this was his parents' home. All of his siblings had gotten married, even some of his siblings had moved in with their parents and lived here, but married. He was the only one that wasn't married. He had thrown his heart and soul into his ministry and into figuring out how he could stop Nazism. And let me tell you, let me tell you what he did. And I have to teach a point that I think is so relevant for today. This man here began plotting on how he could assassinate Adolf Hitler. A Christian theologian. Right now, if you go to London, there is a church called Westminster Abbey. It is perhaps the most famous church, Protestant church, in all of London, maybe in all of the UK. There is a statue of Dietrich Bonhoeffer in Westminster Abbey, because to Christians, he is celebrated, listen to me, as a martyr. Because as he began saying, how can we plot to stop Nazism? He felt, and many of them felt, we have to stop Adolf Hitler. How do we stop him? We kill him. A pastor, a theologian. That is celebrated. He's not really celebrated here in Germany. Let me be very honest. He's celebrated in the UK. He's celebrated in the US. And I do think it's quite ironic that Christians, Americans, Europeans celebrate a pastor that was willing to become a martyr in many of his diary writings and letters that I've read and treasured. He said, I'm not comparing myself to early Christian martyrs. And he said, but it is my belief that I must become one. He knew, in fact, that he was basically on a suicide mission. And as word leaked that Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a beloved Christian pastor, was plotting to assassinate from this house, was plotting to assassinate Adolf Hitler. They came down this street here. It was his last day of freedom. They came down this street, burst into this house, and not only arrested Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but arrested several of his family members, brother, sister, and took them all. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in a prison, a jail here in Berlin, without ever being charged for a year and a half. And they sent this man, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Christian pastor, he was a German in Berlin. They sent him to a concentration camp. Listen to me. I said to you, in tears, from the floor of the Hagia Sophia Mosque, there is something that troubles me. But I can't keep it to myself. There is something that concerns me, because I learned this beautiful hadith of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And in many ways, it reminds me of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The words of our Prophet, peace be upon him, the hadith says, I'm going to preach it again tonight, says, when you see injustice, you should try to stop it with your hands. And if you fail to stop it with your hands, then use your words, use your tongue. And then it says in this order, and if you fail to stop that injustice with your tongue, then you can feel it in your heart. Our brother Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he lived it. He was uncomfortable. He was a man of words. He was a man of heart. But he knew, listen to me, that to be a man of the book, and as Muslims, this has given me, this has encouraged my heart. As Muslims, we respect the Bible. As Muslims, we respect the Torah. We respect people of those books and those prophets of the Old and New Testament. We revere them. Oh, often we adore them more than Christians or Jews, like they are. Like we revere them in a very special way that you could only understand if you were a Muslim. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who read those words of those prophets, he knew that I cannot be a Christian and simply write about injustice. I cannot be a Christian and simply speak about injustice. I cannot be a Christian and just feel injustice in my heart. He said, I have to do something about it with my hands. The hadith actually, it says, use your hands. If you fail, use your words. If you fail, use your heart. And then it has a little phrase that people throw away that I admonish you, don't throw it away. The phrase actually says, use your hands, use your words, then use your heart. And it says your heart is the least of the faith. It's not useless, but of the three things I just named, hands, words, heart, your heart is the least of these. Too often I hear us, now I'm a part of us, too often I hear us say, it breaks my heart. Or I even hear people say, God knows my heart. And I have something to say to you about that. God does know our heart. Allah knows our heart. And that terrifies me. We say it as a beautiful excuse for inaction. God knows my heart. As an excuse for the things we don't do. But if God sees our heart, God sees that our inaction is actually most often caused by cowardice. How many people that live, this is a beautiful home. When I just saw it with you, like minutes before you saw it, I saw it. He could have lived comfortably here. He had job offers all around the world. People were begging him, please leave there, please. He got offers to move back to the United States, offers to flee here and go to London. But he knew some injustice must be confronted, sisters and brothers, with your hands, with your body, with your might. Listen, it's not enough to feel it in your heart. It's not enough to make a post on Instagram or X or TikTok. No, it's not enough. This video is not enough. We must find ways to confront the injustices of the world like our dear brother Dietrich Bonhoeffer. This man, if you know me, if you love me or respect me, then you didn't know it, but you actually love and respect this man. He's in me. He's in my mind. So many times listen, I can't even tell you how many times my life has been threatened. Hundreds and hundreds of times. I've received the most horrific death threats. I've gotten them in the mail. I've gotten them electronically. We've had people show up at our home because of the work I do. When we were trying to track down the men who murdered Ahmaud Arbery, God bless his soul. God bless his sweet mother, Wanda. Wanda, I love you, sister, who's become like family to me and my dear brother, Lee Merritt. When we were tracking down those bigots who lynched Ahmaud, do you think I wasn't afraid? Fearless is a lie. Fearlessness is a lie. You push past it, but it doesn't mean it's not there. Like you have to, it's still there. We knew that we were doing dangerous work, but we knew those men had to be caught with our hands. We had to locate them. We had to go and meet people. Listen, I've never talked about this publicly. We begged Donald Trump to prosecute the men who murdered Ahmaud Arbery. We begged the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, who I have to tell you was so warm and kind to us and had everything to do with that man, with those two men, three men being charged and sentenced and convicted. We saw the governor of Georgia cry tears of frustration and anger over what had happened. That a black man was lynched in his state, and those men who lynched him probably voted for Brian Kemp. Do you think I wasn't afraid doing that work? Do you think when bigots showed up at my house 6 months later, that I wasn't worried for my family, for my wife, and for my babies? Of course I was. But it was my inspiration. Not just him, but so many men and women who in the face of grave injustice said, I can't stop. I must act. I must go. I must do. Listen, sisters and brothers, if you're watching this and you're a Muslim and you're saying, wow, I never thought I would be learning about a German Christian theologian who tried to kill Hitler. Listen, we all get inspiration from different places. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he inspired me. As a teenager, I began thinking, wow, he did that? You can be a Christian and sacrifice your life in this way? You can do this? And let me now make a complicated point that maybe only I can make and get away with. There are privileges I have. I'm not an Arab American, right? I'm not. There are places I can go that other people can't. Things I can say, and I must say them. Why are Muslim martyrs looked at so very differently than Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Just answer me that. Why is there a statue of my brother Dietrich Bonhoeffer in Westminster Abbey? But when Muslim men put their lives on the line for their families, for their people, when my brothers in the West Bank, when my brothers in Gaza, when my brothers in Yemen put their lives on the line, why are they demonized, but this man lionized? Answer me that. It's no knock on Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I revere this man. His body was never found. They took him from this place, threw him in a jail in Berlin for almost 2 years, then sent him to concentration camps. It's believed that he was tortured. And they hung him by his neck and killed him. His body was never found. We don't know if they burned it. The camp where he was killed, where this man who plotted to kill Hitler was killed, that camp was liberated not long after he was killed. And so I ask you, and I want you to think about it. Why are Christian, European, white men in particular, who give their lives confronting injustice, who become martyrs? He said in his letters, I am prepared to die. And he said, if I meet God, I know the only way I'm getting to heaven is if there is such a thing called grace. He said, I don't even know if God approves of what I'm doing, but I believe it must be done. He was so brutally honest about it. And there's a statue, a life-size statue among saints. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is treated like a saint. Now, this week, just 3 days ago, the International Court of Justice, the highest court in the world, said that everything Israel is doing is criminal. Everything Israel is doing to the Palestinian people is illegal. It said they have not committed hundreds, not thousands, not even hundreds of thousands. Their opinion said that they have committed millions of crimes. From 1967 until this morning, they've committed millions of crimes against the Palestinian people. They illegally stole their land, illegally stole their homes, illegally. This is all in their opinion, all in the decision that the International Court of Justice made, saying that it is wrong. It said that Israel is a criminal apartheid state. The walls they've built, the International Court of Justice said those walls are illegal. It said 500,000 Jews have built homes. 500,000 different homes for millions of Jews have been built on Palestinian land that was stolen. The International Court of Justice said those Palestinian families must be compensated, must be given reparations. So why then, when our sisters and brothers, because it's not just our Palestinian brothers that are martyrs, it is our sisters and brothers, it is men and women, it is boys and girls who are giving their lives, like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, why are they demonized but he is lionized? We believe any day now that Benjamin Netanyahu, there is a cruel, painful irony about what I'm about to say. That Benjamin Netanyahu, any day now, is going to be charged by the ICC, the International Criminal Court, with all kinds of war crimes, and a warrant for his arrest is going to be issued. So when our sisters and brothers in Palestine, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Iraq, in Yemen, do everything they can to stop these criminals, why are they demonized but this man is lionized? I'll tell you the answer. There's really just one answer. It's white supremacy. It's Islamophobia. If Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a brown Muslim, he would not be lionized by these people. But because he was a white Christian, he is accepted. Not just accepted, he is celebrated and revered. Lifted up almost to sainthood. I revere him. Are our sisters and brothers who are fighting against apartheid and genocide, are they less righteous than this man? Are they? For trying to stop what they're stopping? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. And I just want you to consider this. I'm flying back to Istanbul tomorrow. It's closed. Today is Sunday, so I can't go in. I wanted to show you the inside and what people said when they saw his room. They said, it's a tiny, simple room. They said there was a cigarette burn on the couch that he had left. He smoked cigarettes and had accidentally burned a hole in his couch. It's still there. He was just a man. Brothers, you're just a man. I'm just a man. Sisters, you're just a woman. But Allah, through our Prophet, peace be upon him, said, use your hands, then your words. Dietrich Bonhoeffer knew, then your heart, which is the least of these. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for letting me. I thank Allah, alhamdulillah, that it did not rain. It's supposed to be a thunderstorm any moment now. And I thank Allah for keeping the rain and allowing me to tell you this story of a man. If you love me, unknowingly, you love this man who was so brave, so courageous, so loving, that he said, I will give my life for a people that's not even me. And let me say the hard, complicated thing that I have to say, and I'm going to say it again tonight when I speak here in Berlin. How cruel is it? How perverse, how gross, how awful is it that this nation, Germany, where I am right now, that soldiers marched down this street and killed my hero. What? Threw him into a concentration camp, stripped him naked, and hung him. What? That this nation that rounded up 6 million Jews, starved them, stole their homes, stole their land, stole their art, their valuables, their memories, and forced them into concentration camps and killed them by the millions. How gross is it that this nation is now the only nation in the history of earth that oversaw the genocide of the Jews and is now funding and supporting and defending genocide on behalf of the Jews? What is this place? I will say it tonight, and it's a hard word. I think Germany has a bent to genocide, that it is the only nation that funded and fueled the genocide of the Jews, and is now literally, Germany is defending Israel before the International Court of Justice, saying you don't even have a right to hold Israel accountable. Germany, where I am right now, the place that marched down here and arrested Dietrich Bonhoeffer, this place, Germany, this place, arms sales have gone up 1,000% to Israel in the past year. 1,000%. This is a genocidal state. This state has a strange bent. This government, I've met wonderful people. Last night in Frankfurt, I met wonderful German men and women. Tonight in Berlin, we'll meet wonderful German men and women. But this government has a weird bent toward genocide that it seems to not be able to shake. It supported the genocide of the Jews, so awful. And now it is supporting the genocide of the Palestinian people on behalf of the Jews. How evil. One last hadith. I could share. The hadiths mean so much to me, and I've been studying them, and thank you to my imams, Dr. Shadi and Imam Omar Suleiman. They've taught me so much. There's another hadith where someone asked our Prophet, peace be upon him, what is the greatest form of struggle before God? And the Prophet, peace be upon him, he told them the story of Hamza, and he said, the greatest struggle is to speak truth to tyrants and to give your life doing so. To speak truth to tyrants and to give your life doing so. Listen. If Allah wants to see you and me speaking truth to tyrants, if that is the greatest form of struggle before God, then please, I want Allah to see me speaking truth to tyrants. I want Allah to see me and you using our hands to stop injustice. Sisters and brothers, I gotta go. I gotta call my Uber. I feel like Allah is saying, Sean, I held the rein long enough. You better go to your event. I'm almost going to be late, okay? So I have so many more. When I get back to Istanbul, I have something to show you. I can't wait for you to see it. It's going to blow your mind. It's kind of connected to what I'm about to show you, but I have never known how heaven works, how Jannah works. I pray that one day we will see martyrs who have given their life facing injustice. We will see those martyrs in Jannah, in heaven. I cannot wait. And it would be an honor if any of us could call ourselves the same. Assalamu alaikum. Hope to see you all soon on the road around the world. Thanks for letting me tell you this story, all right? Take care, everybody.